What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For more details, go to the website sunshinefm.ws.
Ross Clifford, good morning to you.
Good morning, Rodney.
Great to have your company once again as we look at issues surrounding spirituality and belief. And today, not just belief, but doubting that belief, and in particular, talking about Mother Teresa.
Yeah, look, it's extraordinary, isn't it? We are remembering 10 years since Mother Teresa passed away, and people have been gathering around the world to think about her and her marvellous, incredible life. And she died 10 years ago, mate, but where has time gone? 10 years. But as that's happening, Time magazine has put out an extraordinary article where they've published diary accounts and letters from Mother Teresa that indicates that she is a person who for many years suffered with doubt and also, you know, has felt a real emptiness towards God. And this particularly happened after she started her ministry amongst the poor, which is an extraordinary tale in itself.
I guess we can come to the idea that when we fully serve God, then, you know, we're going to be drawing ever closer to Him and life's going to be wonderful, but this seems not to be the case.
No, it's not. And in fact, I was reminded of Peter Adam, who is a well-known Anglican minister, who was until recently the minister of St. Luke's in Melbourne, who has become now principal of the Anglican college there, Ridley College, saying that he can recall in his time as minister at St. Luke's 50 people walking out of the church and walking away from Christianity because of doubt, the doubts that have come into their hearts and minds because of circumstances or things that they have been reading. And I think, Rodney, there's two forms of doubt. There's a real doubt that becomes a kind of skepticism, and there's the other doubt that is kind of a questioning doubt. And, you know, sometimes we go through either of those sort of focuses. Other people don't doubt at all, and God bless them, but many of us live that sort of life.
The question then is, doubt a bad thing?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the Bible records doubt very honestly. I'd encourage people to go and look at, say, for example, Luke chapter 24. And when the women came back from the empty tomb and they had found the tomb empty and they told the disciples, they doubted. They were skeptics. They said, oh, not so, you know, you are mushrooms or something. You know, we shouldn't have the impression that the men were hanging around waiting for the resurrected Christ. And when they first heard the message, they were skeptical. They doubted. And Thomas wasn't the only one. We talk about Thomas the doubter, but all of the disciples doubted. And in fact, if you go and read Acts chapter 1, you find that even after Jesus had appeared to the disciples, he kept on giving them more and more convincing proofs over 40 days. Because obviously, you know, Jesus would appear, the guys went home, thought about it, woke up in the morning and thought to themselves, did this really happen? So Jesus kept appearing to them over 40 days. Why his appearance before them and the scriptures being fulfilled in their life and the work of the Spirit brought certainty. So, mate, if it's okay for those who led the charge for Christianity to have a period of doubt before they understood what the claims of Christ really were, then don't be surprised if many of us know what it is to experience doubt as well.
So I guess in that case, often doubt can be something that calls us on to a higher faith.
Oh, absolutely. And I think doubt can be that sort of thing that hones our faith, really makes us understand what we're on about and who our God is and the shape of our faith. And doubt can obviously come in times of, unfortunate circumstances where we cry out, as the psalmist did, read the Psalms, cry out, oh God, where are you? And that's often not a skepticism about God's existence, but a real questioning about who is this God and his place in our life. And Mother Teresa, in one of her letters addressed to Jesus, she did that because her mentor told her to write an address to Jesus. She said, I'm told God loves me, and yet the reality of darkness and coldness and emptiness is so great that nothing touches my soul. God, please forgive me. Did I make a mistake in surrendering blindly to the call of the Sacred Heart? You know, extraordinary stuff.
I guess we look at this sort of thing and we say, you know, here she is, a lady that on the outside seemed to have it all together and be serving God in such a powerful way, and inside there's those doubts. I suppose it serves as a warning to us as well that when those doubts come along, not to just try and block them out, but to deal with them and work through those doubts and try and find out, you know, am I doubting for a reason?
Yeah, and that's what she obviously did. I mean, she had a mentor, she spoke about it with people, she recorded her diary entry. And I think we've got to remember, too, that Mother Teresa is an extraordinary character. I mean, when you're spending your life on the streets dealing with the poor and those who have been savaged by oppression and whatever, it's kind of understandable, isn't it, that your view of the world and the ugliness that surrounds you at times would just drive you to despair. And, you know, many of us, I think, could probably appreciate her crying out often, "Where are you, God?" with all of the heartache that she had to deal with. And sometimes, mate, I think that when you're on the front line, you can feel more alone and empty than any other time. And I think that might have been the case for her. But that doesn't mean that you don't work at it, you're honest about it, you share about it. But the worst thing to do is to think that doubt is some extraordinary sin, and so you must pretend it's not there. Think about the disciples. They knew what it was to doubt. Jesus understood them. He ministered to them. He shared with them until they were in a position to move on. And I think we need to hear that and understand that as well.
Rodney Olsen here, chatting with Ross Clifford, and today talking about doubt. And I wonder, Ross, if it's a little bit freeing for some people hearing that most people do go through those seasons of doubt, because for so many people it's a matter of trying to hide that doubt and pretend it's not there rather than exploring it and working through it. And to hear that some other people have doubts too, it must be something that really frees people up to then explore those sorts of emotions.
Look, I think as a pastor I've found that, Rodney, if we talk honestly and we're vulnerable and share about what that is for us in our own experiences of doubt, I mean, even if just a questioning about the nature of God because of things that have happened in our life, that's really good stuff. Helps people get through issues. And I think that's what the Bible does superbly when it shows us how that worked for the disciples in those chapters in the Bible I mentioned. When you read the Psalms, it shows us that God understands our humanness and is open to those sort of areas in our own life. And I also think sometimes, mate, we make it a bit too hard for people to decide to follow Jesus, to commit themselves to faith in God. They think they've got to have it all together. And Jesus gave us that wonderful little prayer in John's Gospel. "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." And that's where I think many people begin their journey with God.
What are some of the reasons that we do begin to doubt?
Oz Guinness, in his wonderful book Doubt, and the book will still be available in many bookshops, Oz Guinness in the book Doubt says there are 7 reasons why people start to doubt, 7 things that cause doubt. One is forgetting to remember, that we forget who God is, and things happen in our lives, and we forget how God has been with us in the past. And when these things happen in our lives, we go, "Oh my gosh, you know, is there really a God out there? Am I on my own? Does God really care?" And mate, I don't know about you, but in my wallet, I keep a little sheet of paper where I note the ways that God has worked in my life and intervened in my life and spoken to me through the Bible, etc. And I just keep it there. And at times, I just pull it out and remind myself of the things that God has done. So I think one thing is forgetting to remember. So it's good to constantly remind ourselves about how God has cared for us in the past. Another one I think is really interesting is a faulty view of God. Sometimes our God can be too big. By that he means sometimes, you know, we expect our God to intervene in every illness or trial or situation that happens in our lives without realizing that if he did that, then the whole universe would be out of kilter if he did that in every situation. And so sometimes we've got to be a little bit more realistic. And sometimes, you know, doubt happens because we just have a God that we think is like a pep pill that can intervene in every aspect of our life. So, you know, I think they're 2 good ones, faulty view of God and forgetting to remember. And I don't know if they work for you, but they're important 2 truths for me.
Well, especially the faulty idea of who God is, because if we come at it with this idea that God is like the genie in the lamp, and that genie doesn't deliver, then we start to doubt. When we start to get a real understanding of who God is and what he wants to do through our lives, I guess we start to see things a little bit differently.
I agree with you, and I think you've got to have a good view of God. And that comes on to his 3rd one, which is weak foundations. That doubt can be caused by the fact that we really don't have a good sense of who God is. And so we need to take time to have a good sense of who God is. And that really comes from reading the Bible, reading about Jesus and getting an understanding of who Jesus is and how he cares and loves, but a good understanding of who Jesus is, who God is, and that takes us through the periods of doubt. Another one, he says, is lack of commitment. you know, you're kind of apathetic, you're kind of just in there because it seems a good thing to do to carry on with a Christian faith or a faith in God, but not really committed. When something big comes, you'll bang, you're out. So you weren't really in there to begin with. Another one is lack of growth. You're really not growing spiritually. You're really not being mentored. You're really not growing spiritually, so you can be wiped away with, you know, anything that comes along. Another one is unruly emotions. You allow moods, depression, despair to come upon us and to really weigh you down. And we all have emotions, but you know that your emotions are unruly and you need to work on that. And the other one is fearing to believe. And, mate, I have found this. People really fear to believe who God is and that there is a God out there, and they really fear to commit themselves and give their lives to Jesus. They really fear to believe and take that step. And so that lack of stepping out causes doubt. Oh, no, no, no. But it's really a fearing to believe and walk forward to God. But I think the big two for me are forgetting to remember about what God's done in our life in the past and a faulty view of God. And, mate, I think they're good things to keep in mind.
Mm. And I suppose for anyone who is feeling doubt at the moment and not quite sure what to do with that, oftentimes it can help to draw alongside someone else who maybe has been in the faith a bit longer and be able to talk through those things. And if we find that that person is just giving us the pat answers, try and find someone who's prepared to do the deep searching along with us and really look at those tough questions and sometimes come up and say, yeah, I'm still not sure, but, you know, I'm going to continue to look at this deeply and not just take the easy way out every time.
Absolutely, and remember that it can happen to any of us at any stage of our life, that we can have that situation of doubt upon us. And even if it's not happening for us or hasn't happened for us in the past, remember it could happen to loved ones and friends, so be aware of it. And I think, mate, keep that prayer in the back of our minds that Jesus taught us. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And if there's someone out there at the moment in the struggle of doubt, as you say, get someone beside you. Write down why you think this doubt is happening for you at this stage. And I'd encourage you just to read, say, Luke chapter 24, that chapter in the Bible, in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 24. Just read it. See how doubt happened for the disciples and see how the Spirit of God and just the truth of the Scriptures just took that doubt away from people and allowed them to have that certainty again. And Luke chapter 24 is not a bad chapter when you're looking at doubt.
Ross, thank you very much for your time today. We'll catch you soon.
God bless you, my friend.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia via the website sunshinefm.ws. All material is subject to copyright.